This is the Weather Lounge here at WeatherWorks.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome back to the Weather Lounge here at WeatherWorks. I'm your host, meteorologist Brad Miller, and I would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to our weather podcast. And joining me, as always, here in the Weather Lounge is my co-host, meteorologist Mike Mahalik. Hey there, Mike.
Hey, Brad. How's it going here?
It's nice having the extra hour of daylight now that we're in the daylight savings time. Now, a lot of folks are, we never need to change the clocks. We shouldn't, but... I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence with that one, but I'm just happy that we're, The sun doesn't set now till after 7 o'clock, and it's only going to get better here as we move towards spring.
Yeah,
but there's still winter to talk about, though.
Yeah, there's still winter, but now that we're heading into spring, I think it's good time for everybody, to get started on their, warm weather, projects and, today on the Weather Lounge, though, Brad, we do have a guest with us, and he represents three companies. His name is Phil Harwood, and he represents the Snowfighters Institute, Grow the Bench, ProMotion Consulting are the three companies he deals with. So he's basically been in this business for a long time as far as landscaping and the snow and ice industry. He's been in retail. A lot of consulting also. So he has a lot of experience in these fields. And one of the ones that I'm really interested in too is the Snowfighters Institute, because, he created this to help with the education and training in the snow and ice industry. So I think a lot of our clients are really going to get a lot of useful information out of this. And not only that, Grow the Bench, he's helping those businesses to grow themselves, even from the crew leaders all the way through the ownership and the presidents. And is ProMotion Consulting, even works with transitioning businesses to new ownership. So Phil's got a lot of stuff to talk about here, and I think this is going to be really an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I'll tell you, out of all the podcasts that we've done, and we've had several guests on, I think this is the one podcast where I spent the most amount of time preparing for and just gaining the background of Phil and all of his endeavors here and the websites. And I'll tell you, Grow the Bench, and like you said, has all these different courses that you can kind of take, both free and other ones that you could pay for. But, they're all there to help, guide you and better your business, basically. And I'm kind of looking forward to hearing all this with Phil. And also, our own CEO and president owner of WeatherWorks, Frank Lombardo, he was actually on the podcast with Phil and his co-host, Neil Glatt, which, folks that we also have dealt with in the past.
Yeah, yeah. He was, Frank Lombardo was on the Snowfighters Institute podcast. And that was a real interesting conversation, too, if you go and listen back. So if you want to listen to that, certainly go visit Phil's Snowfighter Institute podcast. He has a real good variety of clients on there or business owners to
Phil will fill us in on that.
Yeah, that's right. So, let's just take a break real quick here, Brad. And then after that break, we'll have Phil Harwood on. So everybody out there, don't go away.
Have you ever needed weather data for a snow removal contract? How about a slip and fall incident? Searching for the information online may sound simple enough. However, it can be tedious and difficult. Good news. Our data and stats team can simplify the process. We'll find any weather information from daily rainfall and snowfall totals to hourly temperatures and seasonal averages. On the legal side, our forensic department routinely produces certified reports by meteorologists, assessing the weather conditions on and around accident dates. So don't waste your valuable time. Give WeatherWorks a call today at 908-850-8600 or email us at data@weatherworksinc.com. Remember, when you think WeatherWorks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Weather Lounge. Again, I'm your co-host, meteorologist Brad Miller, and our guest today his name is Phil Harwood. He's originally from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and he's worked with various landscaping companies in the past. He's also had several years' experience in the snow and ice industry, which, of course, we deal with every day here at WeatherWorks. And most recently, he's pushed now into consulting and helping not only snow and ice businesses grow, but businesses of all different types. And he considers himself a lifelong learner. So without further ado, let's introduce Phil Harwood. Hey there, Phil. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, we have a wide variety of guests here on the Weather Lounge. And again, really looking forward to talking with you today. So really, before we get into the guts of this, all your endeavors, just give us a little background on yourself. You know, where you started, how you got into the businesses, you know, one thing I kind of, and I'm sure you'll get to it, and I listened to a few of your previous podcasts, and your hockey enforcement. I kind of want to hear about that one later on.
All right. Well, we'll definitely talk hockey at some point here. But no, I went to Michigan State, and I have a business degree, so didn't set out to, you know, get into the green industry or the snow industry necessarily. But my very first job was in the green industry. And so I was, in a management capacity with a retailer, and I spent 10 years with that company. And it was a really good experience. Learned a lot about business and about management and people and all that business side of things in a retail environment. But I was also very deep in the horticulture business, mm-hmm. and learning about landscaping and soils and insects and, you know, mm-hmm. Diagnostics and all that. And that just really got me entrenched in the world of landscaping and horticulture.
Right.
And then I spent about 15 years in contracting with two different companies, one where I had some ownership. And that was the whole service side of the business, right? With the client relationships and seeing the sales cycle and working on very large properties, large estates, large mm-hmm. Campuses, and really seeing the full scope of the landscape and snow management world, really more so on the commercial side than anything, but also, you know, with some residential and some estate work. And then 13 years ago, I started consulting full-time, started ProMotion Consulting, and you know, that's been a good ride. I've worked with a lot of different people, a lot of different types of companies, both in the green and white industries and outside. Some of my largest clients are outside the industry. Mm-hmm. And then in 2018, Neil Glatt and I started Grow the Bench. And mm-hmm. so that's an online educational platform. We're excited about that. We've engaged with thousands of companies through Grow the Bench, and really feel like we're meeting a need there that was kind of an unmet that we saw. And then most recently, beginning of last year, we acquired the Snowfighters Institute from John Allen, who is the founder of that business. And of course, all the events got canceled because of COVID. So we bought this business that we couldn't do anything with. Yeah. So like everyone else in the world, we started a podcast. Yeah. And then we started doing virtual boot camps. So anyway, that's the Cliff Notes version of my career.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think everybody found new ways to do business out of the year 2020. I mean, you know, and I don't think it's a bad thing. It just kind of expanded, you know, our horizons on how, you know, we can do business virtually. It's been quite interesting, that's for sure. I mean, even us, we started our podcast, you know, last year, and we also started a webinar for WeatherWorks last year to try to, you know, educate people about the weather more. So, you know, it's interesting how, although it's been a tough time, it's also been a, you know, time to learn new things that Absolutely. You never thought maybe you would have done. I see, speaking of new things, I see that you just recently are entering law school.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. didn't know we were going to talk about that, but that's cool. So I'm a brand new first year law student. And really the idea there is, number one, I love learning and always, you know, I always say the more you know, the more you realize how much you don't know. So
yeah,
like you can never learn enough, right? And so what's going on there is most of my clients are moving toward or are already deep into, and a few have already done this, but either exited their businesses or through a sale or are transitioning to the next generation. So a family member, and some businesses are growing and they're acquiring others. So I've been involved to some degree in some M&A activity, some sales, some acquisitions. And I just see that with the aging demographics of our population, that there's going to be just this massive need for business owners to sell. All these baby boomers that are retiring, you know, people in their late 50s, 60s, even maybe early 70s right now, 10, 15 years, they're going to be gone. Like they're going to sell, they're going to transition their businesses. And so there's a huge need. And I just know that, you know, that's where my interest lies. And I also want to be very well equipped to help businesses in that area. And so that's my interest in getting more of a legal education, just so I can really be more of an expert in that area.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's great. I mean, I'm just looking back at your history and I mean, really a lifelong learner. I mean, you said it in the past, but I mean, man, you got your BA from Michigan State in 84, and then you went back and got your MBA from Michigan State in 2004. And that's quite a large span there.
That's a 20-year gap there. School, yeah.
Yeah,
that well, was when it starts, I guess, in between there is what happens.
That was an interesting time and a great experience in something. The company that I had that I was a part owner of, this was a commercial landscape and snow business. And we just knew that we were growing. We were, we really needed some different perspectives. And I kept saying, we need more brains. I looked around the table, the conference room during our leadership team meetings, and you know, we had some really dedicated people. We were working really hard, but I don't know if we were working really smart or smartly. And I kept saying, we need more brains. And
hopefully nobody was offended.
No, they weren't. Everyone was laughing. But at one point, you know, when someone on the leadership team said, well, I'm not going back to school. If you go, we'll pay for it. So I said, all right, I'll go. So I went back to Michigan State. My alma mater seemed to be a good fit. They had a accelerated executive program. So it took about 2 years to get through that MBA program, but the business paid for it. And, you know, the ROI was tenfold almost immediately because it just opened up the doors to some amazing things. At the same time, we were working with a consultant named Gino Wickman directly with Gino. And Gino has written a book called Traction and developed something called EOS. Which has really infiltrated the landscape and snow industry as well as a million other industries. Gino is crushing it right now in that world with his books and the EOS process. But that was a great experience going through that program and working with Gino with this EOS. It was life-changing and really, really opened up my eyes to the world of consulting in a way that I had never seen before.
Yeah, wow. And is that pretty much where you started making that pivot over to the consulting? Because before you're pretty much going through management, you're going through retail, you're going through operational things with landscaping and snow and ice companies. But then at some point you realized that there was a need for this consulting to help other people or help people grow in their business.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw how Gino really transformed our businesses. Working with him and the power of having an outsider work with us. I saw how fast we were able to change based on his direction and input in a way that we couldn't. We were moving so much faster with his assistance than we could have on our own. And it was about 2006, I realized the kind of the strategic direction of the business was moving in a different direction than my vision for the business. And I wasn't the majority owner. So, you know, I had a very small voice in that equation, you know, and so I just decided, you know what, I could sit here and ride this out for the next 25 years and be very happy because we're making good money and this company's growing and they're doing very well, by the way. That company is just killing it.
Great.
And I could still be there. And, but I, you know, I just was really feeling like I wanted to do something else. And, so about 2 years before I left, I started meeting with my partners and talking about my exit. So I gave basically a 2-year notice that I was leaving. Mm-hmm. And it worked out really well. There was plenty of time to try to figure out how to acquire my ownership, try to mm-hmm. replace me, make sure we had all the processes in place so that it was very seamless. You know, we had hugs and tears and parties, and it was really a great experience. And just a couple of weeks ago, my previous business partner stopped by the house and we had coffee, and I'm still in touch. Most of my team's still intact, and that's amazing. That was a long time ago, you know, just to think about that. But it was really the exit that is somewhat rare today, but it was really a great experience.
Now with the consulting side of things, I mean, are you basically just coming in and kind of streamlining these companies, or are you telling them, just giving them like directions, or, I mean, is it financial? And give me an idea. Like,
that's a good question. My job is to kind of quarterback change. To lead change. So the first thing I do is try to assess where the business is at in the state of affairs. And there's a whole metric I'm using, a set of assessment tools that are really assessing organizational health. And I know that's a geeky business term, but mm-hmm. you know, in the same way that you can assess, you know, if you take your car into the car dealership, they hook it up to the computer and they do all their diagnostics and they say, well, the tires are fine, but the oil and blah, blah, blah. And, or if you go to the doctor for your annual physical, there's a whole workup, right? And they're looking mm-hmm. at a whole set of pretty common set of data points. So I'm doing the same thing with organizations. I'm looking at a whole predetermined set of metrics to assess where there's opportunity and where there's maybe some untapped strength, sure. and to do some remedial work. One of the things I see right off the bat, and this was really a testament to our work with Gino and EOS, was the power of a leadership team. And in most of the companies I work with, that's kind of step one, because all the change needs to happen through that leadership team initially. And most of the time, that leadership team is not there. And so it really needs to be pulled together. And then we have a significant amount of work to build some cohesiveness within that leadership team. And then we can start driving all the change, whether it's in the finance area or operations or mm-hmm. sales and marketing or account management, whatever it is, right? So there's no area of the business I won't touch. However, I'm only one person and I have limited capacity.
Right.
And that's why we started Grow the Bench, because Grow the Bench is online, it's on demand. So it's a whole nother massive set of resources that are available to our clients after I leave, right? When I get on a plane and go back home and they want more of me, well, there's mm-hmm. more of me right in Grow the Bench, and it's sure. very affordable. So go there.
Perfect. Now you mentioned about, you know, the leadership team and how important that is to a business. So in your experience, what would you say is the biggest issue that leadership teams do have?
Well, most teams are by default dysfunctional. So there's a lot of politicking, there's a lot of posturing. Yeah, nobody wants to talk about the elephant in the room. They're not very strategic. They have lots of conversations, but don't make decisions, and they don't stick to them, and there's not a lot of accountability. So, and that's why people don't have leadership teams, because when they do have a team meeting, it's just a bad experience. So they just don't do it again. So someone like me comes along and says, well, you should really have, you know, leadership team meetings. And they say, oh yeah, we tried that. It didn't work. Well, it didn't work because it wasn't
right.
It didn't do it right. And so that's the biggest challenge, is getting them over that hurdle from dysfunction. So this is a really horrible experience. So we have lots of other things to do, and we're never going to do that again, to, oh my gosh, this is incredible. We should have done this 20 years ago. This is amazing. I need to get them there.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds fantastic, that you're able to come in there and just kind of swoop in like the superhero almost and just say, okay, guys.
I wish it was that easy.
I know.
No cape. I don't have a cape.
I know it's not a simple switch that you can turn on and off, but at least you're there to guide the process to you know, where you think it needs to go.
There's another interesting dynamic I just wanted to share briefly. Most of my clients say something like, and they all use different words, but they say something like, we didn't hire you to tell us what to do. We hired right. you to help us do what we already knew we needed to do, but just don't have the wherewithal to do it. Mm. We won't do it without paying you to come in here and tell us to do it. Sure. Then we'll do it. And it's an interesting dynamic. And so I'm very cautious about telling people what to do. That's not my style. I'll certainly give you my advice if you ask for my advice, and I'll be very outspoken. I'm not going to be shy. I'm going to say what's on mm-hmm. my mind, but I'm also not going to come in and just tell you what to do.
So even though they call you in to help out with streamlining a company, they still have a lot of pushback, it seems like, at times.
Well, there's just this organizational inertia that they're fighting. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. That's the pushback.
They don't want the change, maybe, in what they're doing.
Well, they have years of doing it a certain way. So right. any different way is, you know, in opposition of that organizational inertia, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, and I certainly see that too. I mean, you know, people get set in their ways and they don't want to change.
Just jump in here in one part of my life, I was actually a golf pro for a while, not a touring pro.
Okay,
but I was in the golf business. I was affiliated with the PGA, and this is in between my full time jobs and doing weather. And I was living down south, and I was actually in the golf business for about 5-6 years. And it's odd that you bring up something like that, even with companies that you don't like change. And when I used to teach, and I'm gonna bring up a certain stereotype, and it's your typical guy player that's been playing golf for 20 years badly, and they want to know why I'm playing golf. Why can't I? Why? And you show them the right way, and they continue to do it the old way, or you show them the right way and they see good results during the lesson. And then the next week they come back and say, well, I can't understand why I'm not hitting the ball like I was with you last week. And they're back to their old habit. And it seems like the same way with companies that, you know, they don't like to change, and they don't like, but when they see the results, they're like, oh wow, I can't believe this. But then you bring in other areas. You bring in like a woman that you're teaching for the first time, and they're very easy to teach, even a kid, because they don't know any bad habits yet. So you kind of show them the right way, and then they're off to the races, as opposed to somebody again, that's been playing bad golf for so long, and it just takes so long to get them out of an old habit. But once they get into it, like, you're streamlining their golf swing, and then before you know it, they're off to the races on their own. And it's just it's kind of like the same way. I don't know why I brought that up, but
it's a great analogy. Yeah. Because if you've never had a golf lesson and you've swung the same way 10,000 times over a 30-year crappy sure. golf amateur golf career.
Oh, no, you're right.
It's, you know, and then a professional then it works with you and tells and shows you a different way to hold to grip or to swing. You can't do it. It's just it feels mm-hmm. weird, and it's just I'm not doing that. I'm going back to the other way, I know, even though I know it doesn't work.
Speaking of that, Brad, before the season gets going, I might need to talk with you a little bit about my golf game. Because I got to tell you, I've been struggling over the last couple of years. We'll definitely have to talk. Phil, let's pivot over to one of your consulting businesses that you started. And I think the best thing to start with would be the Snow Fighters Institute, because a lot of our clients here at WeatherWorks are dealing in the snow and ice industry. Yeah. And they, you know, probably want to hear some advice and tips and how they can, you know, be more streamlined, how they could be more efficient when they're out there. So what's your main goal with the Snow Fighters Institute with you and Neil?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for asking. So mm-hmm. just want to correct you, unfortunately.
Okay. That's fine.
in a nurturing way. How about that? We didn't start that business, so I certainly don't want to take credit for that. We acquired that business from John Allen, and I want to give a big shout out here to John Allen. John's really, in some ways, kind of the founder of the professional snow and ice industry. If you don't know this, or if your listeners don't know this, the very first SIMA precursor to the SIMA being founded was in John's basement. And John led the initial group of people that ended up forming Sima and getting Sima off the ground. So John's really John was kind of the pioneer of national contracts and some things. And John's had a huge, extensive career. So John started Snowfighters Institute about 10 years ago. And really the idea was to create a place where snowfighters could come and get in a pretty small group setting, you know, 10, 20, 30 people, you know, not 100, not 1,000, you know, not a huge conference, but a pretty intimate environment, and really have them come to him, right? So when you get to be, you know, in John Allen's, you know, stature, people come to you. So he set up a facility in Erie, Pennsylvania, where snowfighters from around the country would go and go to these different events. So he set up events focused on sales, training, focused on operations, focused on leadership, ownership type, you know, topics. So they are very topical, in-depth, multi-day events in Erie, Pennsylvania. And that worked really well. And the feedback was phenomenal. People like Neil was at Case Snow Management. Neil was one of the attendees at one of the sales forums at Snowfighters in Erie, Pennsylvania, along with probably 20 or 30 other people involved in selling snow. And and that was a life-changing experience for Neil, being, you know, having that deep dive with other and just the networking experience over a number of days with those dinners and lunches and you know, all the interaction with all the other attendees. So that was really the value of it. So a very, you know, closed group, deep dive, networking and educational experience. What we've done since Neil and I acquired Snowfighters from John is we've abandoned Erie, Pennsylvania, even though John set up a beautiful facility there. We're never going back to Erie, Pennsylvania, probably. That's not in the cards. What we are doing is we're having our events, the exact same type of events, but we're having them at the location of our sponsors. So for example, our very next event is in May and it's in Ohio at the Event Track facility, state-of-the-art, world-class manufacturing facility in a little town called Orrville, Ohio, just south of Cleveland. And we're going to have a great time. We're going to have probably 20, 25 business owners there. It's going to be a wonderful experience. You mentioned the podcast earlier. So we've done podcasting. And then we also made another pivot because of COVID and started doing virtual boot camps. So those are, you know, all online virtual events. Right. So now we have kind of a mix of things. Now we have the in-person events, we have the boot camps, virtual, and we have the podcast, which is, you know, pretty cool. And to me, the podcast is just a big value add. You know, obviously they're free, but they're really insightful. So we got a lot going on all of a sudden here with Snowfighters. We're pretty excited about it.
Yeah, that's good. And I like the concept of having a smaller group of people, like you said, 20 or 25 people that come in and you know have your training sessions or whatever. And there's probably a lot of good business relationships that come from that, from those small deep dives, right?
Absolutely. It's one of the main takeaways. People, right. You know, because once you have that real close experience with someone, you know, people are trading contact information, they're staying in touch, maybe they're going out to visit their facility and getting to know them even deeper. You know, as much as I love going to conferences, you know, you bump into a lot of people and you have a very quick conversation with hundreds of people, but you don't really ever go deep with someone.
Right.
And so it's a whole different experience.
Yeah. And, you know, that is one of the good things about the conferences. You do get to meet a lot of your clients. But yeah, I would say, just like you said, you know, you talk with them for like 2, 3, 5 minutes, something like that. And then, you know, they're on their way. I think some of the stuff that is most beneficial is when there's separate, you know, dinners and things like that. So you get that smaller setting, you get to have those real conversations with people, right. Not just, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, you guys are doing great, you know, whatever it may be. And, you know, you doesn't really get to know people, but, you know, I think that's great. And man, I, if you're ever thinking of starting up a snow and ice company or ever need help with it, I mean, man, it sounds like Snowfighters is the way to go.
Well, we think so. It's one of many resources in the industry. We certainly don't claim to have a monopoly or the best. We don't even claim to be the best of any at any of this, right? There's plenty mm-hmm. of other
sure.
associations and resources out there. We just want to make a difference, and we want to give people a good resource that, you know, can help them in their business. That's it.
I mean, moving on here. I mean, it's. You know, not only the operation side of things with the snow and ice industry, but then with your other consulting firm, Grow the Bench, you know, that's where you really, you know, get even more into, okay, how do I grow this business, right? Is that where you're going with Grow the Bench?
Grow the Bench is a yes. So answer is yes.
Short answer, but you can correct me. That's fine. I'm just giving a quick general.
Now, Grow the Bench is basically a whole complete suite of solutions from sales to operations to how to be a better crew leader to new hire onboarding to, you know, developing leadership skills. A lot of soft skills are in Grow the Bench. So you're not going to find, you know, how to plow snow in Grow the Bench mm-hmm. because that resource already exists. Saima has wonderful training in that area. Mm-hmm. And there's other areas there. Those solutions are already out there. So we don't want to, you know, repeat, you know, we don't want to redesign the wheel, right? Someone else already did that. But what the industry was missing was a lot of the soft skill training and a lot of the developmental training to help people advance in their careers and move up to the next level and get better at where they're at. So one of the great examples of this is a landscape example, but happens in the snow world as well. You know, your very best crew member becomes the crew leader, and your very best crew leader becomes the manager. Chances are that brand new manager didn't go to business school.
Never had that training.
They never had any management training. And the only examples they've ever had was their boss and whatever bosses they had before in their career. And if they're 23 years old, they've probably only had a couple bosses. Maybe they've had three or four. And so they don't have... And maybe those bosses that they had were not the best examples when it comes to leadership and management. So they really are unprepared for the world that they're going to be in as a manager. Now they're going to be dealing with discipline, with motivation, with being involved in strategic, you know, meetings. There's a whole nother world out there that they're just completely ill-prepared for. And so... that was really one of the main motivations to develop some training. That was some of the very first courses we put in to Grow the Bench were focused on those areas because we felt like it was such a critical need. And from that point on, you know, we just ask our subscribers, hey, what do you guys need? And, you know, we're obviously working with companies through our consulting businesses. So we're always hearing, we always have our finger on the pulse of what companies need. And every month we're pumping out new courses. Every month but since we started Grow the Bench, every month there's been a new course added. And our subscribers have all access to every course for a very low fee. So every time we add more courses, that's just a value add for them. Their price doesn't go up. It's just included. So we think it's a good platform.
I was going to say, you know, you brought up discipline and those examples that you use, I would think that that's something that a lot of people can't handle or move on to because maybe you were part of that crew and you're buddies with everyone in the crew. Now all of a sudden you're the boss.
Yeah, you're in the
crew.
Friend zone. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been in that situation and other examples and other parts of my life too, but it's like, you know, it's something that I would imagine a lot of people don't really go through and that they got to separate themselves because they're the man now, or they're the woman, they're in charge and they got to take care of that crew now. And they can't be as, you know, all chummy with them anymore. So I think that could be, yeah, I would imagine that's something that a lot of people have to really, you know, at least take some kind of a course on or something.
Yeah, for sure, Brad. Not only that, there's a whole minefield there of things not to do. Right. Mm-hmm. That can blow up. And if you don't know where, you know, what those things are, you can be in a world of hurt real fast and get your company in some legal, potentially some legal trouble. Oh, yeah, I never even thought of
that. Yeah.
Another good example is thinking about, legal questions to ask during the interview process. You know, someone who's been, you know, on a shovel or a lawnmower and a plow truck for the last 5 years probably doesn't know the specific details about how to interview someone effectively and what to avoid. Because they've never been exposed to it.
I was going to say, Mike can even elaborate on that a little bit because he was in that, you were on that side of business for a while.
Well, before I was hired at Weatherworks, Phil, I was working with a landscaping company for actually a lot of years, you know, and even started back when I was in high school. I went to college for meteorology. I came out, I worked in the summers with the same company. And then when I got out of school, I was even with them, you know, for a couple of years. And, you know, I've been on that side where I've gone from, you know, just the general laborer on a weed whacker slinging mulch, you know, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And then going to the part where, okay, now you're going to take a crew out and you're going to lead this landscaping project. And then, or you're going to take a crew out and you have, you know, these certain amount of lawns that you have to be at certain places at a certain time and meet other crews at large facilities. So, I mean, it was definitely a change. That's for sure. You know, because when you're just, you know, a laborer and you got your other laborer friends and, you know, I don't want to minimize the job by any means. I mean, there's a lot of hard work that goes on there. But you know, you're just palling around and you're, you know, maybe you take little shots at your boss from time to time, just to like, you know, kid around with people. But then when you're elevated to more of, you know, that manager position, then it's like, oh, this changes a bit. And this is a lot different than what I'm used to. You know, you have to make sure things get done on time and you got to make sure everybody's still working efficiently.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. And one of the coolest things we did with Grow the Bench, we every subscription comes with 10 seats. So you automatically have 10 people in your company that can be involved. Hmm. And every one of those 10 people has a unique login. All their activities tracked and visible. And they receive a really nice certificate every time they complete a course. So it's a really good platform that we're using and we're real excited about it. Yeah. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, and that's really great. And I mean, there's even parallels you can find even in our here at Weatherworks, you know, where, you know, guys are really good forecasters and elevated to management positions, and you have to relearn how to do everything once again. So it pretty much happens in any company, I feel, that just like you're saying. It's great that, you know, with Grow the Bench that you guys have these ways to facilitate that transition.
Yeah, for sure. Well, in regard to that, you know, you think about kind of the cliche that your best salesperson is probably your worst sales manager. So in some cases, you shouldn't promote that your shining star person, because every job's important. Every job's valuable and they're different jobs. So, you know, it's not always the best move to take somebody from a production if they're really good and then moving production position and then movement to management. That's not always the best scenario, but there's definitely a big need for this in our industry, and we've, like I said, we've had thousands of people, you know, hitting those courses and in the boot camps and things, so it's been pretty exciting.
And the last consulting business we wanted to talk about is the ProMotion consulting. Now this one was actually started, or you got into this way before Snow Fighters and Grow the Bench, correct?
Yeah, this was the company that I founded before I made that move, that transition out of the landscape business, landscape and snow business as a business owner. So like I said earlier, I was in a good place with that company. I could still be with them today, but really felt led to getting into consulting, especially after having such a great experience with Gino Wickman. We started ProMotion Consulting in 2008, and it's been going strong ever since. And it's been interesting. I thought we would work with companies for a very short period of time, maybe 2 years, and there would be this churn. And it really didn't turn out to be that way. What we've done is we've worked with most of the same companies ever since we started. And what happens is we just do more. We go deeper. We start working with more people in the organization. Then the owner of that business is sitting on a board, and so of a charity or a nonprofit. And then all of a sudden we jump over, and now we're consulting with the nonprofit, and now we're working with their board and their management team and doing coaching with them. And so these relationships just have tentacles. Mm-hmm. And then now most of my clients are moving or involving the next gen to really step into those leadership roles. And so now we're really coaching a whole bunch of people, because not only are we focused on the leadership team, we're focused on that next generation and developing them and building them up. And for some of my clients, I'm kind of done with mom and dad. Like, I've moved on. Like, mom and dad hired me 10 years ago, but I don't even talk to mom and dad anymore. I work with the kids because they're going to take over the business. And it's not that we're trying to push mom and dad out, but we're really focused on the next gen, because they're the ones who are going to take that business.
Mom and dad probably
level.
want that kid.
Absolutely.
They want that business.
They absolutely do.
So they can leave and give it to their kid.
So it's pretty interesting to just work, be what I thought was going to happen, never happened. And something even more amazing happened. So it's been a very good journey.
We got to hear about the hockey story now. I know you played hockey, and I've listened to that interview with Neil and stuff. The hockey enforcer.
Well, yeah, every team has an enforcer.
I'm a big Rangers fan. So.
Yeah, well, every team has the superstar, right? So you got the goal scorer, mm-hmm. the super fast, with the really nice hair, and so you got that guy, right? Like, that's like the star of the team, the moneymaker. So. The franchise player. And then every team has the enforcer, who's the biggest guy in the team, right? Who will protect the superstar. So you lay a hand on, whoever, fill in the blank, you're going to get pummeled by the enforcer.
Sure.
Well, there's a third person on every hockey team, and that's the instigator.
Ah.
So the instigator is not the biggest person on the team. It's just the person who's going to pick the fight and get things going. When things need to get ruffled up a little bit. I don't want to use the word dirty, but I'll use the word instigator. So that was me. That was my role on my hockey team. So I wasn't the biggest guy. I
kind of chummed the water a little bit.
And... yeah, because I played defense, but I knew how to get things started. So
yeah. Well, I was going to say, out of all the sports, I still think hockey and football is kind of tough. And I just think hockey, for some reason, is just, it's the toughest sport. That's with, just you're on skates. These guys are huge. When they're at another 6 inches when they put their skates on, and they're like 250 pounds. I mean, that's gotta be, I've just played like recreation hockey. I'm a little guy, but I can imagine how big some of these guys are in playing. And
yeah, it's amazing. You look at the 6'8", 6'10", yeah. and then you put them on skates. Now they're like giants. And I'm just a little guy. I'm like Sidney Crosby, five, 5'8", 170. Like, those guys will kill me, if I can't avoid them.
That kind of reminds me of a movie. It's a kind of a B movie, though, but the guy from American Pie was in it. I can't remember his name, but it's called Goon. It's a Canadian movie. I don't know if you ever saw it, but
I haven't.
Okay. If you're a hockey fan and you're into that, like, it's basically protecting the star. And that's all this guy does. He can barely skate, but he gets out there and he just,
there you go.
He's there to fight. That's all he does. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway.
So Phil, I mean, with that hockey, do you draw any parallels with the hockey instigator into helping out businesses, or
I think it's in line with my personality. So one of the things that we do in my consulting business is we have everyone take at least one personality assessment. So I use DISC a lot. So I'm an authorized provider for everything DISC by Wiley. And we also use the Gallup Clifton Strengths assessment. Mm-hmm. And those personality profiles are very powerful. And actually something I learned from Gino, going back to Gino Wickman, very, very powerful on leadership teams and with owners and even in marriages and any relationship, very, very powerful. So when I look at where I fall on all those assessment tools, you know, enforcer's like a great word, a great descriptor of my personality. So it does show up everywhere. So
you probably need that mentality to be a good business consultant, really, in these days. You gotta go after things. You can't.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one thing I was always taught. You know, I was always taught a great work ethic by my parents. But you know, you want something, you're not going to just sit around and get it. Go get it. You know, if you fail, then okay, at least you tried. But at least go do it. You know,
absolutely.
Try and work your butt off if you have to. But you know, that's what you want. That's what you try to get.
Yeah, try things and fail frequently. Sure. Right? That's like a great business philosophy.
Yeah. I mean, it works a long way for everything, really. I mean, when it comes to school too. I mean, I tell my kids sometimes, you know, just try. Like, do what you can do. Do your best. Try, and then if it fails and you don't get the problem correct or anything like that, then come to me and we'll discuss what went wrong here and how to solve it. So,
and I think I don't want to make this sound like a general assessment, but it almost seems like we're going backwards from this kind of almost vision. I don't know if it's because of social media today or just the way that things are run differently today, but I think we're kind of losing that in respect, and maybe that has to be kind of re-guided towards like the people that you need to work with there, Phil, that, like you said, the baby boomers that are going to be taking over these businesses. And maybe they're a little, I don't want to use the word soft, but it's almost like we're kind of at that intersection where, you know, it could go one way or the other. And it's almost, you got to what's the word? Like when you redo a computer, you want to,
reboot?
Well, I guess you can reboot, almost like rewire it almost.
Oh,
like
reconfigure
things, because it's almost like we're kind of going in the wrong direction in some instances. And I don't know if it's, you know, but that's, you know, that's when you can find the cream that rises to the top and you find the right people. And these are the people that can just pounce on things.
Let me tell you what I see, Brad. And I think maybe this is what you're talking about here. So with companies that are moving from first gen to second gen, so the founders of the business, you know, they've been running the business for 20, 25, 30 years, 35, maybe 40, depending on how old they are. They've been successful. They've done a lot of the right things. They're living very well. And they've accumulated wealth, and the business is in a good state. Might not be perfect. There might not be a leadership team and all the other issues that we want to work on to make it even better, but they've done well. And so at that point, they're very risk averse because they want to protect things. So they're in kind of hunker down protect mode, and they really just want to protect themselves and their futures, right? Because they still are going to be around for a while, right? So they want this business to be successful for their kids, but also for themselves. And so they're risk averse, whereas that next gen is more interested in changing things up and getting new technology involved and making some strategic moves and maybe failing on trying some things and having them not work out. But if mom and dad or if the founders of the company aren't going to allow those trials and failures to happen, then they're really shutting the door on that learning experience that you were just talking about.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at anyone who's successful in business, like the really successful people, like they failed 30 times before they got it right. Like, that's just a thing. That's a real thing, you know? So I totally agree with you. And I think, you know, I definitely see it with my clients with the generational thing going on here right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think just in general, I don't know. I think the next gen, I think they're hungry. I think they want to try different things. I don't think they're afraid of failing. They just need to be allowed to do so.
Well, what I meant by like the intersection now today with the social media, it's like almost like social media can either be a big boon to you and like you could just explode, or it can actually be a detriment if you use it improperly, because it can really send you the wrong direction. And
absolutely.
And it's, you know, it's, you see it every day now. Somebody just says one weird comment and it's just like, boom, it's gone. You can erase it, but it's out there. Once it's out there, it's free. Everyone's going to use it. It seems like it happens almost every day now with with some kind of a topic. So,
yeah, that's a good minefield to really avoid, in my opinion.
Well, gotta be real careful. Yeah.
You know, I like the comments you had though about how, you know, some are afraid to fail and all that sort of thing. But you really can't be, because if you're going to stay in that hunker down position, then, well, this has been working for, you know, 20, 30 years, you know, why should I change anything? Eventually you're going to fall behind. I mean, technology is expanding at a pace that, I mean, look, you've never seen. I mean, if I could have told you that, you know, in 10 years, I'd be on a phone that I can look up just about anything I want to and do about anything I wanted to on that phone, from, you know, advertising a business to, you know, talking to a large, you know, population of people with a just hitting a button and sending it. I mean, I would have thought you were crazy. But now it's here. It's amazing how things change, and you got to embrace the change, you know, or else, things are going to fall behind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's what maybe, like you're saying, the new generation can offer. They can offer these new, fresh ideas that, you know, can push the company forward. And yeah, things are going to fail, of course. Mm-hmm. But man, if you hit that just right and you find that new idea that works, you know, your upside is way more than what the downside would be.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not only technology that's a huge difference. So just perceptions about, you know, all kinds of things about leadership style, about, you know, things like parental involvement. That's a real hot topic for people of my generation. You know, our parents weren't involved in our career decisions, but, you know, anyone who's under 40 years old, their parents are absolutely involved in their decisions. So, you know, we can recoil from that and say, we can call, you know, we can spew out all kinds of bad names. or we can just try to understand it and really embrace it. You know, I have two adult children in their early 30s. They involve us in every major decision. They don't always follow our advice, but we have a conversation. And so that's a very different world than the world I grew up in. I would have never thought to involve my parents in a big decision. I don't know. Never occurred to me.
Interesting.
And, but I don't think it's a bad thing that my kids talk to my wife and I about things. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
So I shouldn't push back on it. It's just a very different world that we're in now.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that we have to, trying to think of the word, embrace, is that, you know, when I was younger, the big push was, I know you're a lifelong learner, but the big push was you got to go to college to get your, you know, but, you know, sometimes I look at that and say, you know, maybe not every, you know, teenager or 20-year-old is one to go to college. Maybe they want to learn a trade, you know, maybe they want to learn to be an electrician or a plumber or a carpenter or whatever it may be. And I think we're losing a little bit of that. I don't know if you're seeing that in your consultation, but
absolutely.
We still need those tradespeople. You know, you can't push everybody to college.
I've seen a lot of voices very strongly advocate for trades and for not going to college. Like, and I think those voices are getting some air. Maybe I'm just following the right people, you know. But I'm hearing more and more discussion around those things. But yeah, I think it's a huge mistake to go to college if you don't know what you want to do. Because you're just gonna, especially today with the costs. It wasn't so bad when I went through college. You know, I got through it pretty painlessly, had a little bit of student debt, but I paid that off pretty quickly. And you know, but honestly, like 4 years of education, I don't know what I learned. Like, I don't know if I learned a whole lot, but I got away from my parents and I grew up and, I had a lot of good life experiences, but the educational component, I mean, I can't even tell you what I learned. Like, and that's why it was so great to go back, you know, 20 years later and really be serious about learning. And going through a business program and actually learning something, a whole different experience. But if I would have come out of my undergrad with $100,000 in debt, that would have buried me for the rest of my life. I would still be in debt today. Right. It would have ruined my life. And right. and so that's a huge mistake.
Yeah, for that 4 years of just kind of almost putting life off. I mean, you could if you're going to college for like thing you want to go for, that's one thing. But you know, if you just go in there, like you said, Phil, just to kind of fill the time and like, oh, I'm going to college, get my degree. You know, even my oldest, he's into cars. And I said, you know what? You don't have to go to college, but you're not also not going to go change oil for the rest of your life either at some Jiffy Lube. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Some people, that's what they want to do. But I said, if you want to go to school, you go to get a trade. And that's what we were talking about. You go become a mechanic. Mechanics make a fine living, something that everyone's always going to need. But you're going to do it the right way, though. You're not going to sit there and, just go and work on engines at some, place, but you're going to go do it the right way. And that's fine with me. It's just that, get a trade, like you said, electrician, like Mike was talking about, it's mm-hmm. something that will always be needed, in the next 40, 50 years. So, do it and you make a nice living doing it.
Well, I mean, man, Phil, I think we pretty much covered everything in this podcast.
we solved all the concerns of life.
Yeah, absolutely. From snow and ice businesses all the way to if your kid is going to go to college or do a trade. So I think we covered it all. So Phil, I really appreciate you coming out here on the podcast and having this discussion with you. I thought it was
great.
Man, I thought it was really enlightening. Just hearing about the management issues with companies and how you come in and try to help those areas. So really happy to have you on. I'm glad you came on, and I'm sure.
And a great honor.
Great.
Well, we can always revisit maybe later in the summer, and we can talk about some other things and talk about sports.
I would absolutely love to do some round two.
Yeah.
Other topics.
We'll come up with some good
honestly, this could be a 10-hour podcast if we wanted it to be.
Well, we'll hold it at about an hour here, and I think that will be good.
That sounds
good. Yeah, absolutely. You're always welcome to come back on, so we'll stay in touch. And
yeah, maybe as we get back closer to winter season, late next summer, early fall, we can kind of revisit and come up with some.
Yeah, we didn't actually. Stuff. We didn't talk. One of the things I would love to talk about. Maybe this is a good setup. What we do is next time I come into the lounge, we have a conversation about how weather data maps into estimating and the sales process with caps and floors and seasonal contracts and retainers.
Yeah, that'd definitely be something to.
I would love to have a deep conversation about that.
No, and I think that'll be great if we start talking about that sometime in the fall.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, maybe around October or something.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. So, well, that's about it, guys. So thank you for listening to the Weather Lounge podcast. And once again, you can visit weatherworksinc.com. You could also visit WeatherWorks on all the social media platforms out there, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, basically all those channels. We'll have a new podcast every 2 weeks, so come back and find us. We're on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher. And as always, if you have any suggestions for the show, you can send us an email at weatherlounge@weatherworksinc.com, and we'll gladly hear those opinions. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time.